Yeah, it's Radar Radio. Welcome to the neighborhood. Myself, Chucky Online, Benny Scars. We would like to welcome Colin Baxter in the house. What's going on, my bro?
Thank you, man. I feel that introduction was a bit like, whoa, man. A bit emotional, man. I'm sitting there with some legends.
Legends?
Privileged. I feel privileged to be here. I'm a big fan. I've watched, I think I miss... I'm the Hattie and the Austin one.
Yeah.
But I've listened to everything else.
Wicked. How's life with you, though?
Good, man. Just working hard. Ups and downs, highs and lows. Just the usual, man. But yeah, just working, trying to take my label to the next level. So that's been my, like, focus.
Yeah.
Last couple of years. But yeah, it's all good, though.
So you're a label owner.
Yeah.
You're an artist manager.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that have kind of gone on in your... life and journey in the music industry.
Yes.
You've managed like some of the most credible UK artists that we have in the scene.
Thank you.
Before we get into that, I kind of want to get a little understanding about you.
Yeah.
And how you managed to find your way into the music industry. So the first thing I know is you started as a street teamer at the Mobile Awards. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So talk to me about the process and how you ended up doing that. And what kind of made you want to get into the music industry anyway?
Really, I grew up in Meridian.
Okay.
So that's the home of Skepta.
Yeah.
Bossman, JME, Big H. So they was always doing stuff, but I was more of like a quiet, do my own thing. And then my dad passed when I was about 10.
Oh, wow.
So I kept kind of, that affected me a bit. So I kept myself to myself and I was just like, I went to Ghana for a couple of years to go to school. I went to boarding school, completely changed my life. Got licks in the classroom for the first time. I think because I put my left hand up instead of my right hand.
Serious?
And that's disrespect.
It's got to be a shock to the system, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
They just gave me some licks. Like, it was bad. Like, especially coming from like London, you know, where you can't even hit anyone. In.
Yeah.
So I was like, is that illegal? And they were like, if you're not careful, man, I'll show you what legal is. And they just licked me down.
Serious.
But the good thing
can I just stop you there quickly? Like, so was boarding schools one of the last schools to stop the licks?
I think so.
Because I know that, like, normal schools used to do that. Because my mum used to get licks in school, she told me.
I think.
But was boarding school must have been one of the last schools?
Probably.
Okay.
Especially, like, back home. And I went to, like, a top school. So when I came back, my family were like... Because I learned a lot about my dad was, like... He was the youngest member of parliament back in Ghana. My mum was one of the youngest bank managers. Mm-hmm. So when I came back, I was like, they wanted me to be like a lawyer. That was the family dream. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to go back home and get into politics and that. But my friend, like my big brother, but he's like my friend I grew up with, and gave me this tape. It was like a Bad Boy tape. And it had... Biggie Smalls, Craig Mack,
okay,
Total. And I was just like, and then I heard this one guy kept going, take that, Bad Boy.
Yeah.
So I was just like, this is crazy. I didn't know what it was. Obviously, I've already been in music, like Bob Marley, and my mum used to play all that stuff, but that was the first time when I was like, I'm in love with this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, pardon my...
No, you can swear,
man. Oh, wicked. I'm in love
more
with...
More swearing.
Oh, that's brilliant. This is the best show in the world right now, man.
Mandatory.
This is the best. So I was like in love with it. And then I started to rap.
Okay.
I was in a group. I'm 4th Battalion. We had a label called Batsism, which is music backwards.
Okay.
Sism. So we thought we were like... coming, foot was hard. Like music backwards. Every time you see music, that's what you see us. So we was gaffed on ourselves. But at that point, there was nothing going on in it, you know. And then was going to get a deal. Wu-Tang International. They were going to sign us, but they said, "Oh, you got to spit like an American accent." We were like, "No, we can't really do that."
Oh, really?
Huh? Yeah. So we started doing local shows and that, and then I learned about PRS. So I just got fascinated that you could get paid by a song on radio. Mm. So I started reading books and I started being like, that would concern me more than writing my verses with the mandem. So the mandem were getting frustrated with me. They're like, "Cool, where's your verse?" And I'd be like, nah, but you know, like, there's a thing called VPL where if we get the video right," and they were like, "Cool, where's your verse?" And I'd be like, "Nah, don't watch the verse, like, you don't rap." And then, so I was coming out of it slowly. And then one day we done a photo shoot and then with us and some, it was a girl group, and we was there taking pictures, and there was one brother in the corner, and he controlled the room, and he's just always on his phone, and he never really spoke to anybody, and everybody was like treating him like a boss, and I was like, forget rapping, I want to be that dude.
Mm.
So then from there, I just got into management, and then I was managing the rap group that we had, but we were selling CDs in Oxford Street with Sway, big up Sway, because we was out there with him selling CDs and stuff.
That was the original.
Yeah, we was just shotting them hard, and then
shout out Pirelli too. As
And Uncle Pirelli, shit, man. Yeah,
can't talk about selling CDs in Oxford Street and not big up
my GLC. So we was all on the strip. We used to call it the strip. It was there. Do you like UK music? Yeah, and then. £2 for £5. It was making money as well, some of us, but we were really like a really, really, really underground sort of stuff. And then I had to go to uni, and I was trying not to, but my mum was like, you're getting sent to Ghana if you don't go to uni.
Where did you go?
I went to London Metropolitan.
Yeah,
I went there and I was like upset. And then I just
Where did you go to study?
Law.
Wow.
LLB. So I was there. Wasn't enjoying myself, you know. I see people, so like normally I'd come in, take my student loan, and go missing for like the whole semester. Let's just be on Oxford Street. My mom didn't know that. So then one time I said to her, I can't really do this anymore. Like, I need to do something. And then I used to steal a thing, which is kind of ironic. I used to steal a magazine called Music Week. I used to steal it from the shop in Tottenham Court Road, so I'll send one of the man them in there, they'll distract it, and it used to be on the stand outside, so I'd take, because I didn't have enough money to even buy the mag. It was like £6 or £5 back then, so I would steal the mag and I would read about the game, and then I saw like, there was a music business thing, BA Honours in music business in the Academy of Contemporary Music.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, I want to do that. So I went down there.
Guildford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went down then. I was the only black guy in business. All the black guys was doing like music, performance or production.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was just sitting there with you, and I was loving it. But it's like a private university, yeah. So I had to like pay for my fees. Mm-hmm. But my group, I don't want to get into, going to call out no people, but one of the members of the group did a bit of funny business with some of the money we were making. So,
okay.
so we lost all our money. And back then, because that, we didn't know too much about contracts or anything, so nothing was really structured. So after that, I had to leave the uni. So when I left the uni, I was just frustrated. So I rang every company in the Music Week directory.
Yeah.
And I just went to every interview. I was just going everywhere. It was me and my suit and my rucksack.
So when you was ringing, you was getting interviews from quite a lot of places.
I was blagging it.
Okay.
I was blagging that I want to do it. I'm a university student. I'll put on an accent sometimes, say I'm from Africa and I just want to come in there. I'm an international student. I was doing all sorts.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would say I want a job like in the post room. And when I get down there, I'd go for a job for something else.
Okay.
I was doing all guerrilla tactics. And then I ended up at the Mobos. So when I got there, I thought like I'd made it. So I thought, right, it's the Mobos. And then I was pretty, like, I was like, at that time I was like 24. So I wasn't young.
Mm.
So I was
there. There was a thing back then of just like anything that felt like slightly, I don't want to use the word corporate, but I guess it just had an official stamp. It was like hard for
difficult
to get in the door.
Very
you know what
difficult,
I'm saying? So to even get a call back or an interview from anything that was like any part way
establishment.
And the Mobos was even a big thing.
Yeah, massive back
anyway,
then as well
then.
So I was gassed, and then I got there and they said to me, yeah, come in. And then they'll pay you like £10 a day. And I didn't care how much it was. I was like, I just want to work for this.
Yeah.
I told my mum I had a job, like I'm like an estate agent. So I'd wake up, I'd wear a suit, go out, get changed into a tracksuit,
okay,
go back in. Well, I was living like two lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only one time one of my cousins got me. He was like, so what? Like, I'm trying to buy a property, go anywhere. And I was like, oh my God. And he just exposed my whole thing.
Yeah.
But so I was there at the Mobos now, and I was like, I'd get there like 8:30 and I'd leave at 9. I was the first one in, last one to leave, and I was just there working my ass off. And you know, I don't want to take the credit for this, but I remember when Sway won the award, that year, it was kind of like I was the one that was pumping his mixtape in the office, because he was really based on Americans at that point. But I wanted to challenge myself and say, nah, I wanted like the UK artist to be there. So when I was there, a guy by the name of Alexis had walked into for a meeting, but I had actually sent him my CV before. So he kind of, for some reason, remembered me. So we were speaking and he was like, yeah, you should give me a call. So I was like, yeah, yeah. But I was so content with the mobiles. I thought I was going to rise up the ranks. And then I got a call the next day and they're like, oh, you're getting sacked. I was like, what? The woman was like, oh, we can't afford like to pay you. And I was like, pay me, give me like £10 a day. Like, I'll work for free. Please don't sack me. Like, and they were like, nah, sorry. So I was mad down. I was proper like stressed out, broken. But actually these words from two of my friends, Zoil and Morpheus. I've got a friend that we call Morpheus because he looks like Larry Fishburne and that. So Lawrence Fishburne. So they come and pick me up. And I was just mad. Like, I thought this was it. I thought, you know,
it was over.
Yeah, I need to go back to uni. If not,
yeah,
they're gonna send me back to Ghana. When I got there, he was like, "Nah, man, this is like when Puffy left Motown, Uptown. Okay. This Uptown. Is cool.
Yeah, Puffy left
Uptown. This is cool, man. You're gonna go start Bad Boy." So those words for some reason just resonated with me, and I was just like, "Yeah, man, he's right. Let me get my head mind." Then I thought about, right, that guy by the name of Alexis. He must have like,
okay.
So let me hit him up again. So I hit him up and he just gave me a job.
So what was Alexis doing at that time?
He was doing like a training school, but he was building like a digital platform by the name of UK Street Sounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he wanted to put some of the UK artists that were coming up on mobile phones and on iTunes and everywhere, but he needed someone to get him all the content. So I was like, do you not remember Carlene?
Carlene Palmer.
So she interviewed me. Obviously, she was really hot. So I was just so amazed that she was interviewing me. I was like, I definitely want to work here. You know what I mean? And then she took me on. And then from there, it was like, go out there and sign acts that can go on the website. So I was just so hungry.
What did that mean? Did you understand what that meant at the time? When she's saying go
sign acts on the website,
sign acts, did you understand what that meant?
No. I just meant get them to put the music on this site.
Okay.
So I just thought, I'm going to use my relationships with people. So my first...
From when you was working at the mobile?
Yeah, I had a few relationships.
Had you started to build...
Oh, a few, yeah, because I was going everywhere.
Yeah.
Every show, every pre-party, I would make sure I was there. And I would go first to like help fix up the place, and then I would leave at the end, tidy up.
Yeah.
I was just trying to treat my first day like my last day.
Mm.
That was my mentality throughout the whole internship. So my first people I brought to the website was Sway and Swiss.
Okay.
So Alexis is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy.
And this is around the time Swiss had Cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had Cry and he had the mixtape out.
Yeah.
And
massive moment as well.
Sway was like...
He was on his
he
way.
He was like Hove to me.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he's from Tottenham. And it was like, Sway was like, whoa. Little Derek.
Yeah.
He was the guy, and he was independent.
Original, like, independent artist.
So he was like...
And really championing that as well. And he was like...
He was calling me all the time, telling me, yeah, don't worry, man. You're good soon. I can see it in your eyes.
Mm.
And I was just gassed that he was telling me that, because he was like a man. So when I brought them in, they made me... I was junior. I was A&R scout. They made me A&R manager.
Yeah.
So, like, I took out the guy that was above me. Then a month later... I assigned everybody.
Who's everybody? Just give us a couple of names. Like, what was
Mike GLC?
Yeah.
The Movement.
What was your proudest one at the time? You say Mike GLC.
My proudest at the time was
you signed the Movement.
Was the Movement, because the Movement then led on to my next phase in life.
So when you say you were signing them, you were signing them for the website.
I was signing their content to be as ringtones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as visual content on the website where people could download. Do you remember that ringtone company? What's it called? It's R&B ringtones. Remember that? R&B back in the day. R&B ringtones.
I can't remember that.
Maybe
there's a black
my
guy.
My memory is not
Alex.
The best.
You look with those anyway. Okay. But that was like the biggest thing at the time, the ringtone thing.
Yeah.
Can you like? Do you remember this? Like the structure of the deal? Like what?
You would give them a percentage, like 50% of every ringtone
that they
sell.
That they sold.
Yeah, I remember Rich phoning me, fuming, because he got a basher. He made Bear Man by the ringtone. I said to him, but you're not going to get the money on the basher, you maniac.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, Cole, where's my money, man? And I was like, no, it's not like that. It was just 2005, this actually.
Yeah.
Right, I low-key had a basher. My mum's husband had one, actually.
And he made Bear Man by the ringtone on the basher. But I'm telling him, if the money's not a legal transaction, you're not going to get it, because you have to go through the network. It was quite difficult. It was quite technical, but I wasn't even watching that. I was just trying to get in there with the man them. So I was just telling man, yeah, man. And then I had a page in Touch magazine. Remember Touch magazine?
Mm.
I had a page in there about the site. So I'd write about the man them in that magazine. And them time there, apart from Rewind, there's nothing about. So the man them used to be happy to be in there. So yeah, I put everyone on that website. Everybody. But the one that would be Merkston.
Okay.
Because he introduced me to ghetto,
okay,
which kind of
because they're all friends to this day. And I remember actually, Merkston had a summer on Smash. I can't remember the name of the record. Do you remember it? Was it Summer something? Wasn't it?
He had one called Summertime, but he had one called Good Old Days. Remember that?
Okay,
with ghetto. That was I signed that. A rapid producer.
Yeah.
Big up rapid.
Yeah,
it's murder, murder, Merkston. I'm on your screens now, circulating like boy, them searching for certain, I'm murking. They can't see now, but I'm fully trained up, soon I'll be splurting. For the big shit, they can't stop what I spit, kid. Hot shit, like, you can never tell me different, I'm distant. I'm so different, they're all distant. Yeah, I know that I'm not from the old school days, and I didn't spit peanut banana or peanut banana, but I still get down with Punane, that's older than me. Them day there was fire tapes, compilations of easier than race. CKP, PSG, Merk in the place, go school, makes one of the night your tapes. I'll be like, give it your two, and I give it my one. It's done, it's got the wrist legit with them man, Creed, DT, Sharky B, and he said, look, yeah, I must say, and you must say, yeah, them day they were moving. Now it's new school days, and this all changed me, myself, I'll keep it moving. It's M to the E to the what? R to the T to the, yeah, S to the T to the O to the N. I spit fire, start to the end, go watch your friend. Check, it's T to the H, and I might get the old school scene to relate. That's why I walk with the speed for the rave, keep it moving.
That was mad.
I thought that was a hit back. Like a hit back then.
Do you know
in
what?
The video.
I've said this before, yeah. Like, Merkston had he had that formula, yeah.
He before, had everybody.
Before, like, he was one of the early ones.
Yeah.
Before this thing was going pop and crossing over. Bro, he had the formula, he had the melodies,
the flow.
It was the right tempo,
the look,
everything. He really had it.
No, he was the guy.
He really had it. Like, he really did pioneer something there. Like, and, you know, he didn't see it through to fruition.
No.
But, you know, like, he was onto something.
No, he was amazing.
You're right. Good old days.
His, I need to check that his out, best friend was my first ever assistant. That's how I got him.
Okay.
That was his best friend.
Okay.
Joelle. So I managed her to bring him in, and I had already signed Retro and Scorcher because they were from the ends.
Yeah.
So I was cool. But then I said to Merkston, yeah, I've got everybody on the site. He goes, no, you haven't. Ghetto. You ain't got Ghetto. And I was like, that's my favourite MC, man. I've been looking for him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So let's talk about that next chapter then, because, you know, you've got a deep history with Getz.
Yeah, very deep.
And other members of the movement.
Yeah,
but was Getz where it really started?
Yeah.
Was that where
Well,
you thought you were going to take the step out into management? Was that your first?
I was managing Nole at the time.
Right.
Yeah, so I had Nole with me when I was doing the website stuff.
Yeah.
But Ghetto was my favourite.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard Typical Me, I thought, always Kano in the club doing their man, there's me, I'm on the sipping on champers. Mm. For some reason, I got a face that they all went around because I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the guy. So I was really wanted to manage him, but I thought to myself, how am I going to manage him? Come on. Even though Auntie Nole was really hot at that time, but it wasn't where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought he was with Kano all the time. So I thought, yeah, he's gone in it. Kano's going to sign him and that. But yeah, that was my first management was actually with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, talk to me about how the conversation went with Getz then. Because, well, Ghetto at the time. Because obviously you're looking at him thinking, like, how am I even going to manage him anyway? Especially he's doing what he's doing in his career.
He's popping.
You didn't have a relationship with him prior, did you?
No.
So, yeah, talk to me about how, like, when you first met him and what that conversation was like.
So, I'm sitting by my desk and then my phone rings. Then I answer it and I'm like, hello? He's like, yeah. Clifton Collin. He's like, yeah, speaking. He goes, oh, yeah, it's Ghetto. I said, yeah, hold on. Let me put it on my office phone. I'm chatting shit here. I've got some bashy mobile, but I'm trying to act like, yeah. Let me switch my phone. So I'm like this. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm thinking this is my chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever I say to him could change my life. So I said to him, yeah, man, can I just link you? And he was like, what? I said, yeah, I'll link you. He was like, where? I said, I'll come to wherever you are. He goes, yeah, come to the ends, come plaster. I was like, cool. And like with Tottenham, we've got that mentality where it's always a bit silly, but it's like, yeah, we can go anywhere. It's cool.
Yeah.
We go anywhere. We must know someone around there. But
confidence.
So I've arrogance. Just turned up to the ends with him. So he's confused, thinking, rah. So me and him in the park, and we're talking. And then there was just like a natural good energy between us. And I was telling him, look, I'm not experienced, but I think you're the manager because I feel the best, but you need someone to kind of help you do certain things. Mm. And I didn't want no money. I just want to be around you. And he was like, but I've got an offer from Richard Mark Thomas, who's managing Kane at the time.
Okay.
So I was like, oof.
Big up Rich, boy.
Yeah, big up Rich. So I was like, and then Estelle's manager, I don't know who that was at the time, wanted him because Estelle had come out and said he's the UK he's version the of Busta Rhymes.
Tony Tago?
Something like that. I can't remember what back in the name? Day.
Tony Tago? Used to run Dill Rule?
I think that's
it. I don't know. He did end up managing Estelle. I don't know.
It might have been Jamie Binns at that time through her deal. Might have been Jamie Binns.
You're right.
So
you're right.
These established guys. So I'm thinking to myself, there's no way he's picking me.
Mm. Mm.
So I went to his house and then he played me Ghetto Gospel, which became Ghetto Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So he played me tunes. So I was like, I didn't know you could make tunes like this. Because I've just heard you go mad on tunes. So he was like, yeah, man, like my mom, I come from a church. And that guy is like up to this day, I haven't met anyone that's so passionate about music than that guy. Like, mad, it's crazy.
He's like possessed.
Yeah, he's possessed. On the stage, he's so like
the energy,
crazy. Bro. He's so when he's breaking it down
and
to me,
his willingness to be the best as well.
His fight and his intricacy and his detail in his lyrics, it's just out of this world.
I don't want to go off topic, but do you feel that Ghetto's had his moment yet? Ghetto, you know, Ghetto's has had his moment yet. Do you think he's really had his moment yet?
Nah. I think he's made wrong choices and decisions, which I would say to him, but I don't think I think he's a career artist, and I think he's one of the few that we have in our scene, in our scene, and I think he's someone that can get his moment at any time. But I think for him is a tough one because he's got the Wiley syndrome, that's what I call it, where they've got the pressure to be the kings of grime. So if they venture out a little bit out of that, it becomes a national crisis. Mm. The fans get upset. Mm. So he's got a battle to please the underground, but try and go mainstream.
Yeah, because so the thing is with Getz is that he's a lot of his fans are they're like the diehards. So yeah, the moment that
he does anything left,
that doesn't sound a little bit authentic to them, then it's like, you know.
But hear this though, and I'm gonna say that he's very much due his moment, and this is why I will say it, because definitely. Like when you peel it back and you strip it back, it comes down to ability and credibility.
Yeah,
and like it's unquestionable his credibility and the ability and the natural talent that he has. Plus, everyone will want him to win. Everyone will want him to win. And it's like, before somebody has their moment, right, sometimes it's difficult to see. Like, everyone can't see that. Do you get what I'm 100%. Saying? And it's like, I remember thinking a few years ago, like, rah, like, you know, Wretch is so sick. Why has he not had his moment?
And then you're thinking,
how can he, like, what would he do? How would he do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you know, he's worked on it and it comes out and he has his moment and you're like, bruh, it makes so much sense.
Definitely.
And how did I even ever question that?
Yeah, of course.
And Ghetto is a man like that, bro. Yeah, I honestly think that, bro, because right, the work that he's put in is ridiculous.
And the consistency has been good.
What? And the levels are there. He's never done anything that I felt, ooh, like, that's kind of like,
yeah,
he's gone way too left there or too, you know, he's jeopardized his credibility or nothing like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So I just think when you look, and as if it was a top Trump's card.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to win at some time. Yeah.
And it's shaping it's up that way as well.
I think I believe that.
For someone that knows him on that level, his biggest thing is he overthinks things a bit.
Yeah.
So, as I said before, I think he's made wrong decisions where he might have, should have, maybe he was right about what he was originally going to do.
Yeah.
But because he overthinks it, you know, even to go back to when we started, we were going to shoot a video for every song of Ghetto Gospel.
Mm.
But he was all thinking it.
Yeah.
Like, Menace has got a video. No one even knows that.
Okay. You know,
and to see it, like, get performed 10 years later, actually...
Yeah, I was
Chucky at the show.
Bad.
I see Chucky at the front, at the beginning of the show, and I just went as a fan. Yeah. I didn't even go. He was saying to me, come back. I was like, no, man. I just want to go and watch it from the crowd, because for me, I'd never seen them songs even get performed.
So, yeah.
And I just feel sometimes because of his talent, his ability, his hunger, his passion, he just might overthink certain things sometimes. But I do believe, as you said, it's only a matter of time before he gets his just due.
I'm gonna say it again.
It's only a matter of time, because you've got them stats, he deserves on the card, it.
You gotta win at some point.
He deserves it, and you gotta remember, like,
you look at the even like at the Eskimo dances now.
Yeah.
Look how big Eskimo dance has grown now. He's the top don.
Yeah.
He's the dude that a lot of people want to see.
He's the headliner.
The camera phones are coming out and everything. So I agree with you. So you had that, you started managing Ghetto.
Well, not straight away, basically. So I kept linking him, we were talking.
Oh, so it took a while. It
took a while, and then one day he kinda, I think he pardoned me off for something. So I sent him one of them texts, you know, when you're like, oh, safe, say no more, innit?
Yeah.
It's like, you're going on. Cool, innit? Good luck in life. Like, vex, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then he was going to Jamaica, and I was going to Uganda. So I left my phone back home because I was scared of losing it. You know what I mean? So when I came back, I had like 10 messages from him. So yeah, come see me. Then when I called him, he was like, yeah, man, I want you to manage me. And I was just like, whoa. Mm. And our first thing was Ghetto Gospel.
Bruv. And yeah, that's a classic, you know.
I know.
That's a classic.
You're just a bit ahead of his time.
Yeah, 100%.
Because again, what you said, the fans slaughtered us. Because they didn't want him. They wanted him to do like 2000 in Life.
Okay.
Which was his previous project, like Skinny Salt and all those records. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when he had like Top 3 selected, everyone was like, the fans were like, whoa, yeah, he's coming. But then when they heard State of Mind and these records are classic records. Like, some of the songwriting on records that he done made me look at him and say, you are extraordinary, brother.
And look how they were, like, obviously, 10 years down the line, he's going to perform. How they performed, And how they went down.
Menace was mad, remember?
Crazy.
Menace was mad. Like, Menace video was one of the best videos that we've done, but I said before, he's such a perfectionist that he overthinks things.
Mm.
But I think in the end, that will take you to the top.
Mm.
But sometimes you have to go through the bumps and bruises.
You have to go through those things, man. And it's like, it's just part of it's part of growth as a person and an artist. 100%. And it's like, to be fair, you can't say it's mistakes. You just gotta say it's part of the process. Do you know what I mean? And I think when you get to the point of getting it right, you look back and you say, that's experience. It
definitely.
And it's taught me.
And it's made him better. I can see that.
Yeah.
I'm a force to be reckoned with. I'll stick my thoughts on anyone's premises, even if it's negative. I show you what a menace is. I do music, shot, and still claim benefits. Gunshot specialist, long range, and arse nemesis. Niggas wanna know what my method is. No, I ain't delicate. I'll bust my ting for the hell of it. I ain't gonna say I don't ever miss. I ain't OT, but I can be devilish. Call me a pessimist. I'll catch you on foot trying to beg a lift. You wish you could fly like Pegasus. Don't think I do it to be credited. You think you're hard like a mega dip. I'm like a terrorist. I block anyone up, I ain't prejudice. You don't want BWF, both free the CS rolled up from the Gilead, but VX, you wanna play games, play PS, I'm on this, not I'm like VX. No, I'm a menace, come out around tennis, been doing this before, bound for bound, perish. When I was hungry, you weren't even peckish. I was letting up pellets in the chemist, I left the place blemished, these times I cherished. I'll bury a fury on his own terrace. I'm a menace, damn right, I've said it, I don't want credit, feds come, I leg it. Desperate times, desperate measures, run up on fellas that claim the drug sellers. I'm a menace, damn right, I've said it, I don't want credit, feds come, I leg it. Desperate times, desperate measures, run up on.
Before we get into Devlin quickly, was management a thing for you? Was it a natural progression from when you was at Street Sounds? Was it a natural progression for you, or was it, did you decide to start looking after artists because of, I don't want to say that Street Sounds was maybe taking advantage of artists or anything like that, but were there certain things that you were seeing that were, where you was thinking to yourself, rah, like, these lot don't have no real representation of what?
Definitely.
I need to start making sure that these guys know what it is that they're signing, what it is that they're giving away, or whatever it is that they're receiving.
And some of the structural, I would get upset because I'd think, this person's so sick, why is he not doing this, doing that?
Yeah.
And I felt there was no one there to speak to anyone.
Yeah. Like them.
They had no one to talk to. So yeah, because of Street Sounds, Street Sounds contracts were pretty fair, but they were also, they could have been like negotiated better from their part.
Yeah.
With a bit more. So I said to myself, no one's really speaking like for these guys. So I just wanted to be that voice for the artist that I loved. I wasn't really caring about making money or selling, just artists that I really liked, and he was my favorite at that time. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's definitely why I said I want to be into management.
Man like Devlin.
Wow.
Devlin is a dude who... Ben, I think maybe it's better you talk about this guy, because I know you've had a great relationship with him as well.
Definitely.
But I think Devlin is somebody who has gone on to like achieve some amazing things. Yeah,
definitely.
And represent like an element of the culture, but from a different angle as well. Do you know what I mean? How did you end up linking up with Devlin? Because he's from Dagenham, right? Was it a Street Sounds thing again, or like how did you connect with him?
I was at Ghetto's room and he's playing I'm a Hero, and someone goes, I'll stick nine something inside you to your fertility. I got biscuits in my bottom like cheesecake. So I was like, who's that? I was like, what the hell? So I said, who's that? He goes, oh, that's Devs. I said, blood, like, did you hear, like, come man, let's get him on board.
Yeah.
So he was like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna bring him. So I made a song called, I made a UK version of One Blood. Remember when it's the game had 30 men on one tune.
Yeah.
So I done that. I had Mike GLC, Pirelli, The Movement. So I said to him, yeah, bring my man. So I'm gonna meet Get to the station, right? So when I see Get to coming, I see him with some white brother that I thought was a painter. The guy looked like a painter. His trousers is all messy. The guy's wearing a hat. So I figured, why is Ghetto bringing one of his bookie virgins to the studio? Like, it's not even that. So I've got that. I said, oh, where's Devlin? He goes, Devlin, this is Colin. So I'm looking at this painter, brother. Okay, so what, you're the one spitting them bars there? And he's like, yes, brother, you're right there. I'm not being rude, mate, but can I have a fag before I do my verse? I said, yeah, of course. So when he went, I said to Ghetto, that's Devlin.
Yeah. Mm.
And I said, wow. He said, why? I said, you don't understand. Like, that shows how powerful this music is, because
no doubt,
someone like that is in our music, it's in our culture, it's doing, like, he's underprivileged, like, I'm England. He's like a hood rat.
He's working class.
Working class, yeah, working class. And for him to be in grime, this is amazing. And he's spitting bars like that. I was like, yo, like, I need to work with this guy. So that's when I first met him.
I didn't, you know, when you asked me to talk about Devs, it's like, you know, there's few people that you will meet on this earth that are like him as a man and a person, first and foremost, because his morals and principles, right, are like, they are so high. Like, I know that sounds like a crazy thing to say, yeah, but... He's a real gentleman, like in the proper true in the truest sense of the word, you know, and it's like he's from a past era.
Yeah.
Like the way that he carries himself and just as I said, his principles and the way that he moves. Like and then you put on top of that like his ability and his intensity and his work rate, and it's just like he's just a different different kettle of fish. Like,
he's a good soul, man.
He really is. He's a,
one
he's
of the a good finest man, a good human person. Beings I've ever come across 100% in my life.
100%, you know. And it's something about, there's something magical about being raised where he was raised and coming up the way that he did and all the traditional values that he grew with, right? And then coming over and bringing all of that
into grime,
into this scene, into this world, and not compromising, and not changing. He ain't come over here to try to not be, you know, the young white working class kid from Dagenham. Yeah. He is that.
Yeah,
he embodies that. It works so well. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And there's no, you know,
just fitted in there.
And I think like that's what that is why he's a different character and a special character. 100%. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, like what he did for rap and MC. Culture.
Yeah, I think he opened it up to a whole nother demographic. No doubt.
So can we talk about, because he was one of your early signings as well, Ben.
He was, yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about that. Like how did you two, like what made you end up signing Devlin anyway? And did you have a relationship?
Yeah,
we knew each other.
Jump off.
Okay.
Actually through Nye.
I
met Ben through Nye. Nye was my brethren because Nye was actually the first female that I tried to sign.
Okay.
Like years ago.
She's here.
And
by
I fancied
the way.
Her as well. So I was just trying to get close to her because I slightly fancied her like a little bit.
Oh, then one day. So I was like, strong.
And she was the only female singing on grime.
Yeah.
So one time I went to see her jump off, she was like, yeah, you should meet my friend. So Ben. And I was like, oh, yeah. Then me and Ben just had a relationship. And Ben was like always kept in touch with the man them.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, because we were independent, we just thought, oh, that corporate world was a bit. So when Ben became an A&R, he never really changed. Like, he used to phone us and say, yo, what's up? I remember, funny enough, I actually sent him my first deal with Getz on All Around the World. I actually sent Ben Scars, like, the tune first.
Okay.
And Ben Scars said to me, which you don't really get this, he was like, nah, Cole, you know what? I don't think I should sign this because I'm not really sure about the dance thing and what I'm doing, so you should really go around the world. So I always classified him as someone that was
thorough. Real.
And, like, because normal A&Rs would be like, yeah, I'll sign that, and then they put you on the shelf. So he was the one I sort of had a lot of respect for and trust for. It's actually funny because with Devlin's situation, he came in last. Mm. But I used to always say to Devlin and all the rest of the team, yo man, like my friends at Ireland, and if he comes for the deal, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Because we thought we was going to Atlantic. Because Atlantic, Max Lusada had given us the speech of the century.
Oh really?
Like he was like, Devlin, I'm not going to put you on a Jay-Z song. I'm going to put Jay-Z on your song. Like, he twanged us up. So we thought, yeah, we're going to, even though Devlin's response was, sorry, mate, it's all right if I go to the pub because I'm a bit thirsty.
Yeah.
Devlin's not, as Ben will tell you, not fazed by anything.
Yeah.
The day we was going to sign to Ireland, obviously, just to go off topic a bit, he forgot Lucky's poppy. I'm at home. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
He forgot his poppy at home, right? Yeah. So he's come to sign a deal for nearly a lot of money, like a quarter of a mil. So he's in the car like this. He's like, fuck, shit. I said, what's wrong? He goes, Cole, my fucking poppy's at home. I said, Debs, we're about to sign a deal, blood. I don't give a shit, Cole. That's a fucking means a lot to me, that poppy. You know, and it's funny because Ben come to watch him do a show in a Roundhouse and he's wearing a tracksuit and a poppy. And I remember Ben going to me, he's wearing his fucking poppy, the tracksuit gone. Ben was like, this guy's too much for me. Ben was like, this guy's sick. So we kind of, after Ben got to us, we knew he was going to Ireland. And then,
like, but I'll tell you a funny story because I remember being like, obviously we were speaking and I knew that you'd had these offers in, and I guess I was probably in a place where like I'd only signed one artist before that in Tinch. And I was like, you know, like the next one I need to make sure it's the right one.
Yeah,
do you get what I'm saying? So I guess that was in my head slightly like making me procrastinate, a little bit. So I'm aware that the deal was happening. And yeah, like Colin was sending me music and playing me stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it was it Days and Nights? Or
Second, I played.
What was it?
There was, I forgot what it's called, but it had no hook on it and you was going mad. You was sitting there
but
going.
He just sent me this music.
Yeah, and you was going crazy.
Like, nah, this guy is on another planet. And then it
was Days and Nights or something else.
I remember like being at Naughty Boy Studio.
Yeah.
And at this point now, like I've put in my deal, I put in my offer or whatever, and I'm not sure.
Did you do that speech thing? You see like what they did at wherever?
I didn't talk about Jay-Z.
What's Ben's thing?
He
like?
Come, he won really, and he, why we was all like, whoa. It's, he was like, you know, Ben does that, like, it's like smooth, like calm, like everyone's giving us the big pitch, and Ben's like, no. I was like, yeah, I'll come look at me. I was like, no, I'll come to you, Cole.
Okay, then one's
and there. I was like, yeah, when? He goes, I'll come right now. So I'm like, what? Like, 2 hours later, I see the BM pull up in Walthamstow. Remember, he's in High Street, Kent. I'm in Walthamstow.
Yeah,
that's like an hour and 20 minutes. And he just turned up, and I've gone to the man, yo, man. This guy's the real deal. Because everyone else was like, oh, just come to the office and we'll take you lunch. And
Yeah.
But Ben was like, no, I'll come to you. So, yeah, that was the smooth approach. Sorry, as you...
No. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, so...
He's a Naughty Boy studio.
The deal's in now, putting the offer, whatever. Like, Colin, I think, is, you know, giving me the positive signs. Yes. But I'm at Naughty Boy Studio. And
Paul Samuels, yeah, I remember
Samuels
this.
Is there. Look, I've got massive respect for Paul Samuels. He's a legendary
A&R. In the game. He loved Evelyn with all his heart.
But imagine, I'm just a kid. I'm a kid, yeah? And I'm in the studio and Paul's there, big A&R, he's talking to Naughty Boy. And like, he's mad cool as well, by the way, Paul. Like, he's real not like, guy. Oh, you're like a young kid. He's not like that at all. Nah. He's like, shows mad love, da-da-da-da. But he's talking about the Devlin deal. And I'm thinking, this is mad awkward, because like...
Oh, he's talking like he's a like he's got it
in the bag.
They thought they had it.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
That's why Atlantic, even every time I go to the building, they're like, oh, so they let you in even now, which is 7 years ago. Yeah. Later.
Okay.
They're like, oh, get out of here.
So these times, they...
But I didn't know if I had it. I didn't know that I definitely had
it. Yeah, it was still in there because like...
I was just saying nothing. I just thought, I'm not going to say nothing, but...
There was loads of offers.
He was passionate about it. He was saying, you know, his kids loving it. And I was thinking, boy, I don't even want to tell him. I didn't even want to say nothing to make it awkward. Do you know what I mean? And then, yeah, by God's grace, like the deal ended up...
No, but actually, the tactic that you pulled, I actually use that now. Because Ben goes to me, he asked, oh, so Ben... What do you think of Devlin? Ben was like, I think he's shit.
No,
so that threw my mind off, innit? Ben was like, nah, I think Devlin's shit.
Did I say that?
Yeah, and then afterwards you called me outside and he was like, Cole, what's going on, Cole, man? And I said, I'm coming to you.
I could have never said shit. I might have said, I don't know, you know.
I think you threw him off.
Nah, okay. I think that's what it was. I wish, I was that strategic. And that
time.
Cold-hearted.
Yeah. I think it was something like that. You know?
I might have said,
or not good, or something.
I don't like it. I wouldn't have gone that far.
You might have said,
no way. Maybe I might have said, I'm not sure. That's probably as far as I would have gone. Trust me. Yeah. I know me. I wouldn't have had the balls to say, "Yeah, I think he's shit."
No, I think you said it. Obviously, I didn't mean it. But I think you played a super card.
48 Laws of Power. Like I've been studying the book, and that. Nah, that's what. But yeah, I might have reserved any kind of judgment of how I really felt about this.
Okay,
probably holding down the side, how crazy.
Oh, man, I've been using that tactic all the time now. I need to kind of stop doing that. I've been telling man, no, I think my man's shit, and I'm trying to do the deal straight after. But
the deal ultimately went on to change his life and your life.
1,000,000%
As well.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that, like, you know, the success that Devlin had and how it changed things for you.
I think at that point, Most of my peers had like Bath, Jack and Archie. They was all in deals. Uncle Dumi, everybody had a deal, and we felt like he was the hottest with London City and Community Outcast. So after we signed, obviously we signed to a label that we felt suited him to the T. Like it being all his favorite acts, Bob Marley, Amy, they was all part of this label. So it was like a great, and I have to admit,
Can we just say something? Can we just stop a sec? Because I have to say, when we come down to the deal and you're talking about people that influenced it, you have to talk about Darkest and you have to talk about Ted.
Yeah.
Because
Ted Cockle.
Ted really connected with Devlin.
Devlin.
Like on a personal
level. For those
level,
who don't know who Ted is.
So Ted is the president at Virgin right now. But at that point, he was the co-president of Island Records. And with actually Darkest. The person who gave me my first job.
Okay. Yeah.
So Ted is meticulous when it comes to deal winning, yeah. right? And he comes from a marketing background, yeah. not an A&R background, no. but he really, I think, saw something in Devs yeah. that reminded him of a young version of himself, kind of thing. Like, similar background, coming from the opposite sides of the outskirts of London, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that
I think he spoke to his people. I think Devlin spoke to his people.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And I have to say that Ted was also someone that would, that gave me the confidence on that deal.
Yeah.
To say you really need to go and win that deal and go for it, and you know when you put the kid in front of
he
me,
he won the deal.
Truth be told,
like it was.
Can't forget that.
It was too much for us because, like, obviously, like we had Ben, that we all felt was real, and then Darkest is like one of my idols. So Darkest had me, and then Ted had Devlin. So like the deal was done.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So
you can't forget Big Ted.
Yeah, man, Ted, and even after speak up, Uncle John Turner was quiet because I remember he was there on it as well.
Who's so John Turner?
He's the manager director of Island now, but he was the general manager then. But they was all, they made us feel like this is it's a priority because normally you don't get that level of at the label to be at your signing and it was quiet and they all loved him. And as well, he's a good kid, man.
He's
very decent. So yeah, we went on and for me, I feel we made like a classic album. I feel the title alone. I'm bud sweating beers. And I have to admit, like, I learned a lot. Like, I learned how to deal with like the corporate world. And Ben Scar taught me a lot on how to like mix records, how to A&R, how to really put in good sessions. You know, so I think the education of it was as important as the success. But we went on and sold a million records for someone that wasn't really talking party stuff or girls. Everything was deep. Like 100,000 albums. We had a gold album, which was amazing for us, for where we come from. And he just was like,
so 134,000.
Oh, now,
I
yeah.
today.
Yeah, is it? Today. Sick. Yeah. So that was amazing for the type of album it was. And just the way we made the album, and even some of the decision making, like we should have put out London City again.
Should have. That was a big mistake.
Big mistake on our part.
I always think about that.
We went with Dreamer, and then in the end that didn't come out because Emily Sandé on the record, and it's like, and we made a good album, and
London
it just,
City was
that was. And I remember like
lighting up a cigarette and then I passed half to my mate. I was listening to that the other day and I was thinking, wow, that is so descriptive. Like you two is a London. Cigarette. If you was a smoker.
Yeah.
And give half to your friend.
Yeah. Right? Mm. I mean, I honestly think, and this is just my opinion, I think he's the best writer in grime.
And tonight we're in London City. I'm on the 813 on the way to the city. Where the lights are bright with some boys that like to fight. I'm leaning out the window, smoking through the wind in my eyes, like tears that I've cried. Getting high in the essence of life. Cause tonight we're in London City. And I got about 400 with me. 15 minutes ago we left barking. Now we're approaching the city, am I laughing? I wanna hit a restaurant first cause I'm starving. Eat well before the starting of emptying glasses. This is London City, the best city in the world when everybody's not shanking and blasting. Young men moving to music and females shaking their asses. Let your hair out in London City. Everybody just keep moving with me, just keep dancing with me, just keep holding with me. Let your hair out in London City. Everybody just keep moving with me, just keep dancing with me, just keep holding with me. Alright, I finished my plate. Now I'm walking out of the restaurant, lighting up a cigarette and then I pass half to my mate. Many clubs and bars await, we're gonna drink and dance till it's late. And my name is Bates, so a lot of young ladies wanna glance at my face. While they got a glass in her hand and a wiggle in her ass and a waist. It's the OT show, sexy ladies all wind down low. And if you get approached by a bloke who smells up, don't act like you don't wanna know. Cause we got the city on smash. As the strobe lights flash, all I do is drink more champs and spend more cash. London City, no match.
Did the success change him?
Not at all. If it did, if anything, it made him fall less in love with it.
Yeah.
Because he's not a fame person. Yeah. He's not a pretentious person. He doesn't like, you know, a funny story I've got is, when he got his deal, we went went to get some garms and that, like, you know, like we got a deal. Wolf from the Hood, we're like, let's roll.
Quick for
me. So me gets in Griminal. I think we've gone into G Star or something. Okay. But then I can't find my man. I'm thinking, oh, where is he? So I've gone down there and he's arguing with some woman about a £10 scarf. He's like, fucking hell, man, I ain't paying that. It's only £5 in Wembley Market. And I said, Devs, you've just signed for a lot of money, man. Buy the scarf. And that sums up Devlin.
Yeah.
Just nothing. He's not changed for money. So, to be fair, the success kind of made him a bit not wanting to, like, to play the game. And then the second album was done under a lot of tension and pressure. So a lot of pressure being put on me and Ben. Because of how the first album, they wasn't expecting it to do so well in such a short period of time. So, and in a funny way, the love that they had for him was too much. So you had too many cooks in the kitchen, whereas it should left it to me and Ben really and said, what do you lot think?
Is that the element of like of being a victim of success in a sense then? Because then you've had like you've made a project, yeah, then the project's bust, it's done its thing, yeah. Then now you got all of these other people that's coming in talking about how much they love the last thing, whatever. They want to be involved now.
Yeah.
You're taking on more opinions. There's more pressure.
100%.
There's more pressure on the artist, the A&R, the artist, the management. You know, like, how did you work under all of that?
It was difficult because the first album was, like, we had the body of work, but... Again, and I have to big up this man a lot, you know what I mean? Because he really taught us a lot. And we was kind of, he was independent, but was only really dealing with him at the label. So it felt cool because he's one of us. So the album was kind of there already, but Ben would say, like, there's a famous story about his biggest song on the album, which is Runaway, where he didn't want to do the session. So I've seen Ben at a video shoot. And Chucky, I'm sure you know this. You know, Ben does that face of, you know, he has that face where it's like, oh my god. So I said to Ben, nah, you know what, like, he wants to go with his girl. And Ben's like, nah, go. Nah. Like, he's got to go to the session. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but uncle. And Ben's like, go. So I'm there, I'm thinking, oh, this is on me now.
Yeah, now you have to.
So I've got his passport. So I've hid the passport and gone, bro, I can't find it. And he's going, it's you and Skeng. Because he calls Ben Skeng Bars. Sort of Ben Scars, that's what he's called. Oh, Ben. Okay. So he's like, you and Skeng are stopping me. Fuck you too. And I'm like, I can't find your passport. And then he goes in there and writes about it, and that's why it's called Runaway.
Oh, okay.
He writes about, I woke up my girl and I said that we're leaving, and that's his biggest song. It's funny.
Sick. And you know what happened, right? I remember getting a call from Yasmin, who is the singer on The Hook, right? And she was like, oh, like, we've written a really big song. And at first, I didn't even know, like, Yasmin was gonna be writing the session. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, eh? And then also, when somebody calls you and says, we've written a really big song, I'm just thinking, I hope that this don't disappoint.
Yeah.
You've played it up to me.
Yes.
Though, so now I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm just thinking, oh, all right, cool. Like, I'll wait to hear it. Do you know what I'm saying? And then when I heard it, I was blown away. Oh,
yeah.
Like, proper blown away.
The first album was kind of there. The second album now, we wanted to come a bit like harder, but he had a relationship like with Labyrinth and Ed Sheeran. So they sent us a demo of, they were sitting having lunch, Ed and Labs, and they were like, don't you think Devlin's like Bob Dylan of rap? And then all along the Watchtower, what must have came on. And then they basically sent us the demo. And they were like, oh, here you go. And then I was like, I don't know, this sounds a bit mad, but let me play it to Ben. So I played it to Ben, and Ben was like, oh my God, that's what he needs. This is it. This could be the blueprint of the album. So obviously, me and Ben have delivered Labyrinth on a beat, Ed Sheeran on a hook.
It took about 7 months.
Yeah, to make.
It took about seven
ages
months.
To finish. To finish, to make, to even get, remake to and to get both of them. It, I mean, to be fair to Ed. Ed was cool.
Ed just did
but Labs took quite a minute.
To finish it.
Okay.
And then I think because we pulled that move, the label were like, well, this is where he needs to go. And then there was a lot of pressure on me and Ben and him. Yeah, so the second album was done under a lot of stressful.
And I'm going to say this, it's like inexperience on my part, on both of our parts, but 100%. Definitely like you know, to be a good, I guess, manager or A&R, like, you've got to be a buffer between that pressure,
yes,
and the whole album million process, percent. You get what I'm saying? And you can't let that pressure sway your decisions or be rushed into a certain whatever it is, like,
and that's what we did, yeah.
And I gotta say, like, I wasn't ready for that pressure. I just thought, you know, I'm dealing with people from on high that they've been doing this for a decade or two.
Yeah.
They're telling me this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I'm taking that at face value and then kind of, I guess, relaying that pressure to Colin to a degree. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that is going to affect Devlin at the end of the day. And there was a lot of, you know, I remember we had a lot of debates and a lot of fighting at that time. And, you know, bro, it's mad. But, like, the only way to learn those lessons is to go through it.
It was just so different from the first album when we was, like, one big family.
Yeah,
one time, like, we went mobile together. Remember, we went mobile to Liverpool together. We was out there, they rave, and it was just life. And then the second album was, like, under pressure.
Mm.
And I understood Ben's pressure from my team. Whereas Devlin was like, that's my guy, Cole. Mm. I signed it because of him. So what's happening? Yeah. And Devlin didn't understand that. I'm saying, Devlin, but it's not him. Devlin's like, no, but it's got to be him. And I'm like, no, but it's not him. Mm. So it was just the whole way around, it was confusion. And it just, as you said before, it was a victim of our own success because they thought we'll sell 40,000 albums. Mm. That's what they told us. By December, the album came out in November. By December, we was on 60,000.
Mm.
So, so they were like, whoa, we didn't expect this. So we should we should go away, go make another album quickly. Yeah. When really, we should have kept pushing that album.
Yeah, kept the momentum
and
going.
I remember Ben kept saying, I'll never forget Ben and Darkus kept saying to me, Cole, trust me, let's keep pushing this album. And I was like, but I've got Ted saying this to me. And obviously, I was trying to, which I've learned so much about, was trying to keep the label in a good place with him because that was where his main money was coming from as a manager. But I still think the second album is a classic, but it's just, it wasn't right for the timing for him.
Yeah.
You know, because not many people have Ed Sheeran, KEB, Wretch 3-2 on one album.
No. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't even know that.
Trust me. And you know what there is? There's a certain energy and a certain step and groove that you can get into at times, which I do think we were in on the first album and we just weren't in it on the second album. And it's like, it's very, I don't know, it's difficult. It's difficult. Like, you know, it affected my relationship with Devlin and I feel that's always, you know, it is what it is now, but it's hard to think like, bruh, like, obviously, my intentions are always good.
Always.
But, you know, you can always get the blame.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But that's, he also learned a lot, and he realised that he's grown up since then.
Yeah, of course.
And for me, it was the best learning curve in my career.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like, all in the art of, like, you all were very new to that level of what was going on.
Quickly.
So, yeah.
It happened so quickly for us. So we was like, it was quite... But it was such a good learning curve.
But let's talk about what you built out of the back of this, because, you know, you went from being an independent manager with just your phone, right? And a load of contacts to being someone who had a network, being someone who was employing staff, you'd created a business, you'd started your own label and publishing management company. You had business partners and it was now, it had gone from... you know, Colin running around, however after you was getting UK about
sounds,
on the phone to, you've got an office, you've got, there's an infrastructure, there's finance, there's staff, you know, like, talk about that and the ambition with that and, you know, just the foundation of that time, because I think it's, you know, it goes back to how I introduced you.
Yeah.
I think it's important to say that, like, yes, at that time there wasn't a lot of people thinking like that and setting up independent ventures and trying to sort of like diversify out of just doing artist management or whatever it was that was kind of making your bread and butter, I guess would be fair to say. So what was it that sort of inspired that vision in you and led to you building what ultimately today is, like, you know, a business has been going for probably, what, 8-9 years? Like
12, I think. 12.
So what? How did that all play out?
We after UK Street Sounds, we decided, after Devlin got signed, we decided to try and, so I kept rising in the ranks.
Yeah.
At Street Sounds. And then one point, Uncle Victor, who's my business partner now, Victor said to Alexis, listen, we got to give this guy a piece of the company, because if we don't, he's going to fucking walk away with this whole company. You know, so we got to give him a big piece and make sure that he's a partner.
Mm.
So they brought me on, they made me a partner. And then I said to them, look, this digital content thing is drying up. All the artists are getting, they're getting smarter. They're getting their own like distribution deals. So let's get into management and into label publishing. So after we had done the deal like with Devlin, we just wanted to be, instead of being a brand, we wanted to be like a service company.
Okay.
So we had the office, and we had a financial department, and then we had a legal department, and we had like a creative department. And then we also had like a training school where we would do government stuff, where we've even had Ben do some talks. I think you've done like a DJ at Capo Extras, Music Potential. Yeah, yeah. So we had all the mandem coming down doing stuff. And then really it was more about like just like creating a structure for these artists. So that was what we wanted to do. We wanted to be like a firm, not a brand, but like a firm. And really it came from the inspiration of Rockefeller, Cash Money, and Mega Man.
Okay.
And Albert Samuels. So we saw what they had, and we were like, wow, we want to do that. And there wasn't really many black people that had that, or even had like an office.
Yeah.
You know, so we just wanted to just be like a hub, but like a service company, and be good at management, good at records, and good at publishing. But management was that was the catalyst for everything else.
What were some of the artists that you think have sort of like been the cornerstones of that business outside of Devs, obviously?
I mean, Devs and Ghetto, Gets. Yeah. Uncle Griminal. Griminal was one of my...
Shout out Griminal.
Griminal was like... Griminal upsets me when I think about Griminal, because Griminal's supposed to be a massive artist.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've never had, up until this day, no other MC has had the female fanfare that guy had.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I remember Benny Scars has got a famous statement. He's like, this was like 6 years ago, Benny Scars was like, I'm trying to sign Devlin, but everyone's talking about fucking this Griminal guy, man. What the fuck, like? And he was like, he was the hottest thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And he had all the girls on top, but unfortunately, it's just sometimes like the pressure was a bit much for him. And
yeah, I was about to ask you why, like, from your perspective, what happened with Griminal?
Too much too early. Because we was part of 360 Records, which I could talk about a bit, where I was like running. That was a label with the owner of Channel AKA.
Okay.
Channel U, Channel AKA. Rest in peace, Darren.
So we talked about Darren in the Ricky Blue interview.
Oh, okay.
Ricky was
the playlist manager.
Yeah, yeah. Playlist manager,
Darren Platt was like, that's like one of my mentors. He changed my life as well. Mm. I mean, when the Getz deal, sorry, just to give you a bit of background on him, was when Getz was my first deal for around the world. For we done a deal with Sing For Me.
Mm. Okay.
And it just didn't do well. And I lost everything. I lost all my money. I put everything into that. So I was about to become like, I think I was a consultant at the training school. This is on Monday. I was starting on Monday. So Darren, I went to meet Darren because I tried to offer him £1,000 to play the video more on Channel U. And he was like, I don't take bribes, Cole. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Come on, man. Man, I heard you do it. He was like, no, I don't. But he goes, you know what? Like, I like you. Because he goes, you do UK Street Sounds, don't you? I said, yeah. He goes, I thought to myself, how is this website getting videos on their site before I'm getting it on my TV station? So I need to find this guy. So he goes, he said to me, yo, they'll be looking for you. And then we just bonded and connected. Like, you could ask Ben, we was like the gruesome two, so we was everywhere together. So when the whole deal with Getz didn't go well, and Darren wanted Griminal so bad, but Griminal was on flakiness.
Yeah.
I'd applied for a job as a consultant. I'm at the training school, and I was starting on Monday. So on a Friday, I'm walking to my Darren's whip, and Darren said to me, "You know what, Cole? I bust N-dubs, I bust Chip, but I'm not getting nothing out of it. So it's like, I want to start a label." And so I could sign them first and then bust them and then give them to labels. And he said, "I really want to do that." So I said to him, "Yeah, that's a great idea." So yeah. I'm walking to the car with him to say goodbye. And this moment changes my life completely, which is why I have to thank the Lord. He says to me, "Do you know what works on my channel?" I said, "No." He goes, "White rappers." And I was like, "Oh, I've got the best one." And that was Devlin. And that's how Darren gave me the job. And that was on a Friday. And I was starting on Monday. Thing. So I ended up ringing them saying, "No, I'm not starting no more." And Darren gave me the job. So that's how Darren and me was like, yeah, sorry. I just, every time I think of him, I get a bit like, wow, because I can't believe that he's not here. But
it's crazy.
It's all good. It's so crazy. I feel like Griminal was a key artist for us. I think my relationship with other artists that wasn't signed to me was also key. Mm. Like,
definitely
Lady Nye, because I was doing like her PR for her. And I was part of her management team. Uncle Giggs.
I've been doing this from day. You can ask Colin.
Uncle Giggs was my... We had a mad relationship because I'd done some of the PR for Walk in the Park, and I was on the panel at the BET panel, which he won.
Mm.
But originally they tried to take him off the panel.
Okay.
And I was the one that was fighting for him. That's why he goes, "They made it hard for him. Stop the path for him. I've been doing this from day." Mm-hmm. Ask Colin. That's what the lyric means. So my relationship with other people outside had helped what we was doing. And then we put together like a rival to N-Dubs. Cold Red.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they did well for relatively what that was. So that was good. And yeah, so those were the main artists, I think. And then obviously Wretch was my guy.
Yeah.
His manager, Mr. Zion Richards, is one of my best friends in the world. So we was kind of really good. So more about not just artists that I was working with, but artists that I had relationships with outside was what helped.
Yeah, very key.
Yeah.
EGA, what it was. But Devlin was our marquee artist.
What does EJ stand for?
Everyone always asks me this.
Is it EJ? I thought it was EGA. EGA.
Okay. Yeah, EGA.
It's for Eastside, which was Alexis's company.
Yeah.
Okay. And the G is Gridlockers, which is Victor's company. And the A is my surname backwards, which was my dad's company's back in Ghana.
Oh, right.
So we just put it together. Okay. So, because we thought we was like a law firm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't want to be like a music company. We was like, we're a music firm.
Okay.
That's how we said it. So we wanted to put all our companies together and like a merger, like a corporate merger, which it wasn't really that, but yeah. So that's what it stands for.
You're involved. So you've got all of these different things going on with EGA.
Yeah.
And you are kind of involved in, we would say, one of the records that was pivotal in the resurgence of the grime world in German Whip.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
That's so important to set the scene as well, because like things took a real downward spiral for a minute, to be hard. Fair, and it was very difficult to get arrested as a rapper or an MC or whatever, and it all went
difficult
back quite underground, you know, and people weren't getting shows or making money or getting signed or whatever, you know, and along comes this record. This record caused me so much stress, by the way.
Why?
I'm gonna talk about that in a minute.
It's funny because I sent it to him first as well, the madman. But
he sent it to me.
Yeah, and then I went. I had too much.
And he told me how much money that he had on the table for it, and I was like, it was literally the week before Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. And I just gotta say, I was sleeping.
Seriously, he was dangling the carrot.
It's funny.
I was ready for Christmas, to be honest with you. And he called me, said, "I got this much money on the table from
what you got
PMR." And I was like, "You know what? Respect.
Yeah.
You should take that."
Yeah.
And you don't understand the stress I got after.
It was,
so we're talking about German Whip, Meridian Dan.
I was actually at a point where the Devlin second album had not done well. Devlin had left Ireland. I was still cool with Ben and Darkus throughout the process, but Devlin was just dissing, wasn't really feeling the music thing right now. But luckily, he was shooting a movie, which I think, I don't know if you've seen Antisocial with him as Skepta.
Yeah,
so he was shooting that. So I had known Meridian Dan for about 20 years, because we all grew up in Meridian, and I still lived there. So I was there And then my friend Lawrence, big up, Law Finance, he brought Dan to my house. I said to Dan, look, I don't like, when it comes to music, like even Skepta says, man, Bats is like the wizard, man, so you used to go and get advice of him. So he come to my house and was like, yeah, I got this tune, and what do you think? And I heard it and I was like, this is sick, man, like, what's happening? And he was like, yeah, I think Zane Lowe played. I said, Zane Lowe played Grime? I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. I was like, right, okay, well, you know what? Let's, what do you want to do? And he's like, oh, I want to put out a mixtape, but I want Jem Whip to be, I'm the instant grat, like the free song. So if you pre-order the mixtape, then you get Jem Whip for free.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. So I was still oohing and aahing whether or not to manage him because I was going through such a bad time with previously, but I liked the record. Then I went to a rave. I think an American act came over and Uncle Chucky was outside the rave with me. So this is like September time. So we're talking and Chucky's like, what are you doing, Carl? I said, oh man, this song, Jem Whip. I said, oh my God, that song's a banger, Carl. At that time, Uncle Chucky was like,
I wish you would have told me this.
He was like a DJ that was, you know, like Chucky was doing all the raves. So I'm thinking he must know. So he was going to meet Carl. You know, Chucky goes, Carl? He's like, Carl, this is a banger. And I'm like, yeah, he goes, this guy in Off Blood. So I was like, wow. What is it like that? So, because obviously that was my bridge tune, so I wasn't, and I was going for such a bad time with the stuff. So then I said to him, you know what? Maybe I should manage you. And he was like, yeah, of course. The next day, it just went crazy.
Do you know like, what it was here with crazy. Jem Whip as well? Is that like, I've always been a DJ that's just been into bare different stuff here, and I've always had an infatuation with grime as well. And like, DJing in, so you, like for me, you might catch me in a hood dance, yeah? I could play this record there. But then I could do one of the Luminar dance, like, raves.
And play, yeah.
And play it in Northampton, and it's going off.
Mm.
So I know now, if I can play it in this hood dance, but then I can also play it in Northampton, or I can play it in Manchester to a mad diverse crowd,
yeah.
And that's one of the biggest records I'm playing, I know straight away
it's big
this is
banger.
Something.
And it just went... It went mad. It was like, but the labels weren't really calling, and the only person I trusted that label was Ben. So I sent it to Ben, but I think that was just after the Devlin thing, so we're all going through.
I was in depression at this time. Deep in depression.
I'm not even switched off. Chatting to Darkus at this point, because we just left Ireland, so me and Darkus ain't in the best of terms. So me and Dan are just putting a tune, the tune's getting rated. It's the number one tune on One Extra.
Oh, wow.
At a time. And at that time, as you both know, there's nothing going on. There's no grime, nothing. Skepta's phoned me and gone, Carl, so what's wrong? He goes, I'm in Paris and the tune's going off and there's girls dancing to it. What? So we were just a bit like going with the wave, and the video was getting views, the tune was getting played, like it's getting played mainstream. Not just underground, like Zane Lowe's banging it, Nick Grimshaw's playing it. So then Dan said to me, oh, Cole, a label, I'm not really sure if they're good or not, but they're called PMR. And they've sent an email about it. And I said, blood, they're blowing up. There's a sign like Disclosure, Jesse Ware. So I said, let's go and speak to them. And I already knew Ben Palmer. So I called Ben Palmer and he was like, Cole, man, like, I'm so happy that you're involved. Somebody wants to phone you. Now, in my head, back then, PMR were going through Ireland. So I thought, oh, I'm going back there. I'm going to go see. And I thought Ben might be upset because I've sent Ben like the tune. I'm thinking, oh, Darker's going to be like. But then Uncle Ted's rang me. And I've gone, huh? And he's gone, yeah. Well, you've got unfinished business, Batsar. Me and you. Unfinished business. You know how he talks? We've got unfinished business. Let's make sure we make this happen. And blah, blah. So we signed like to PMR. And that song was just it cultural defining.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It changed. It brought everything to what it is now, I think. You know, it doesn't get the props that it did.
Yeah.
There's many things people don't know that didn't happen. Is we tried to get it like in a dictionary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we was this close. But me and the artist, we sort of like...
To get what in the dictionary?
Jem Whip.
Okay.
The word, Jem Whip would have been like a term in the dictionary because it was getting used that much. But me and the artist just had a falling out. And then since then, everything just went downhill after the song came out. So.
Yo, you see man driving a German whip, blacked out window leaning back. See man driving a German whip, look like a baller, peas and that. I don't kick ball, do I look like a baller? See man driving a German whip, who told you I move like pauper? See man driving a German whip, see man driving a German whip, blacked out window leaning back. See man driving a German whip, look like a baller, peas and that. I don't kick ball, do I look like a baller? See man driving a German whip, who told you I move like pauper? See man driving a German whip, who told you ice in reverse? Ride my bike on a burning dip, man talk but I'm gonna burn him quick. Madman nutty on a Sherman tip, dead man wanna mess in my aura. Someone said that's bang out of order, can't make 6 foot man feel smaller. Treat their man like private caller, and I don't wanna box man, trust me. Who told you that I got rusty? Draw for the WD-40, gosh not big man, old like 40. Big boy bike, big ting 650, moving along on the road too quickly. Your big dogs in this biz, I never see no man chasing frisbee. You see man driving a German whip, blacked out window leaning back. See man driving a German whip, look like a baller, peas and that. I don't kick ball, do I look like a baller? See man driving a German whip, who told you I move like pauper? See man driving a German whip.
Well, I just want to say that led to like it's probably one of my longest phone conversations with Darkest ever, and he was very rightly so. He was mad at me because I never really like brought it to his attention. Like Colin Coolby told me this is a deal, PMR's offered. I was thinking like Ben and Daniel at PMR,
they're hot.
Sick,
yeah.
They're hot. Like they've offered you a good deal. It's the week before Christmas.
Yeah,
you know what? You should just do the deal. Mm. And like I just took it upon myself to make that call.
Yeah,
and I never came to D. And said, yo, like, whether I'm in or not, like, you should be aware of this competitive. Because, you know, in the universal system, or it's in so the record business in general, it's so competitive. So,
yeah,
so, no one don't want to lose.
Yeah, you just got to give them even some, like, information.
Yeah.
At least.
So
yeah.
So I learned a lesson out of that, yeah. Of, like, you know, when you're working for somebody, like, you got a responsibility, whether you are necessarily into something or not, like, if it's hot,
yeah,
you got to bring it up.
Mm.
You know, you gotta say whether or not maybe I'm not sure about this, but just so you're aware,
it's hot.
This is what's happening.
Yeah,
it was really hot. I mean, we signed a deal on Christmas Eve.
Okay,
like in my house,
and that's a quiet time in the music industry as well. Yeah, very everybody's quiet. Like kind of doing their parties.
December
and
August is dead.
So I hear that. So with EJ, you've got a bunch of stuff going on with it right now, especially with you've got an indie band that you're working with, Oh Wonder.
Yes.
They've sold how many millions?
Hold on. I've got here, yeah. I've got some streams. I'm gonna read them out. Hold on. Let me read them out to you now, because the streams are kinda
mental. It's a bit mad.
So I was looking today, I thought, you know, let me check out Oh Wonder. Right. And I was looking down the streams, I was like, rah, 54 million streams, 38 million streams, 51,
what?
29, 21, 18, 50.
It's like 650 in total.
650 million streams.
Yeah. In total.
With no mainstream media, no radio, no TV really.
Here's a question, because off the back of German Whip and the success of that, and your relationship with Ireland, and maybe part of Darkest's frustration with me, you ended up getting a imprint via Ireland.
Yes.
Okay.
So EJ as a label.
Yeah. Well, what happened was after German Whip, I just didn't have that much money because it's not a lot of money into how it looked.
Okay.
So I was frustrated. So I was like, man, I need to do something. So basically I had Zion got a consultancy on Polydor.
Zion is Rich's manager.
Yeah. And so I was like, Z, how'd you get that? He was like, oh, I don't even know, man. They just rang me. 30 years. I was like, so I was thinking, wow, how come I never get this? And then I phoned like Sharav.
Okay.
And I said, Sharav, how'd you get consultancies? And he was like, Cole, just go and see the presidents. They all know you. Boom. So I had messaged everybody, and Ben and Daniel were like, they were like, yeah, let's go and see Ted and we'll do a deal for you. But I text Darkest and he pardoned me. So I text him again. You know, one of my gets texts is like, you know what, say no more in it. Like, I know what it is.
And yeah.
So then he phoned me.
The emotional smash.
Yeah. So he phoned me like, Cole, man, let's call Simone. I think Simone was his PA then. He was like, call Simone and come in for a meeting. So when I had that meeting sorted, the day after, JMC hit me up and said, Cole, I got this song called Sturridge Dance.
Okay.
And after you've done German Whip, I think you should do this song. And I was just like, another rap song, that's not going to make me no money, but why not? So I sent the song like to Zion. I said, what do you think of this? Zion was like, I'll sign it now. I'll sign it right now. 10 grand. So I was like, whoa. And then JMC had already spoke to Ricky and Uncle Glyn at Virgin. So Ted had said to me, why are you doing this? We just done German Whip together. We want that Sturridge Dance song. Because basically, Charlie Sloth had played the song and Zane Lowe had busted him and said, wow, what's this? Mm. And Daniel Sturridge was kind of hot that season, yeah, Liverpool. Yeah. So I had the song. So then I want to see Darkest now. And I sat down and I said to him, I just want some advice. Like, this management thing, I think I've reached the top. Everyone says I'm this credible guy. I've got a business I'm running, but I need to go to the next level and some more money and some income and some funding. So I don't know if you could give me some advice on what to do. And I got this song that everybody wants to sign called Sturridge Dance. But I'm just so disheartened with this rap stuff at the moment because it's like I love it, but I need to make some real money now. And he was like, you always get something, don't you? And I was like, something like that. And he was like, you're like one of the only few black managers. Like, you know how Darkest talks. He was like, you're one of the only few black managers out there, really, that does street music. And I was like, yeah, but boy, you know what I mean? And he was like, why don't you come work for me? And I was like, I've had one job, and that was like in Asda for about a couple of days, and I've spilt milk and eggs on my head and all that, and I never even had a job since then. So I said to him, I can't have a job now. And he was like, no. You just have your label, but I pay you to just get stuff for me. And that Sturridge Dance, well, if you want to sign it to Polydor Virgin like an idiot, when this is you've got your situation here, you should do it. So then that's how I got my consultancy, really.
Oh, yeah. Sick. Okay.
That's how it was.
So when we fast forward to O-Wonder now, which is like, this is an interesting, it's an interesting conversation because, look, like, I've always signed the music that I kind of, you know, I'm known for, and you've always managed like the records that you kind of been known for, stuff from our scene, homegrown rap, black music, blah blah blah. You come across a duo, from the Isle of Man.
No, they're from South London.
From South London,
yeah.
Wikipedia lied to me.
From South London. They might be there from originally, but for what I know, anyway, South London.
Cool. We'll edit that.
Yeah.
So you come across this duo from South London, that are an indie band, effectively a duo.
Yeah.
They are making guitar-based music, kind of folkish, right? And I wouldn't have put you as the first man to be in line to sign this act.
Of course. Like,
what is the thinking, and what was the process? How did you come across them? Why did you believe you were the person for the job?
When I got my label, I watched like the Methods and the PMRs and the Black Butters, but there wasn't like Doomy sold a lot of records, Ben Scar sold a lot of records, so was Uncle Glyn. But then I was thinking to myself, why haven't they got labels? So I was thinking deeply in my head, and I was like, I asked a few people, and people were like, I think you need to sign something out of your world, and that will open up your door to that. Because if you sign one of their acts, they look at you differently. So that was in the back of my head. But I had lost Lethal B to Virgin and Predator to, I think it was 3B. So I was a bit down, and that was the 6 months in my consultancy. And I was loving the consultancy so much, working at Ireland and that I just didn't want to lose it. So I thought to myself, I've got to bring something big in to just shock everybody. So I was looking, and there was nothing. And then my mum said to me, that's because my mum's like, I'm the oracle. That's what I call her, the oracle, because she tells me everything. So I said to my mum, because but don't sign something that you're not feeling, whatever you do. So I was sitting in my house. My PA, Charlie, was in Dubai living life. Victor's in Holland with his family, so I'm kind of like on my own. So I'm there with my niece now, and my niece is like, uncle, can I watch Made in Chelsea? And I'm like, are you taking the mick out of me or something? She's like, no, please. So she puts it on, and some song comes on. So I'm like, And the thing about, as much as we are from the urban scene, we like music, soul music, and Devlin, really being around Devlin opened up my head to that kind of music.
Yeah.
Because Devlin listens to Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Mm.
Devlin doesn't listen to rap at all. He listens to maybe Eminem. No, sorry, you keep saying that. Big Pun, that's his guy. And then Eminem sometimes. But and Immortal Technique and them. Mm.
Okay.
But really, Devlin's into Bruce Springsteen, Nirvana, Oasis. What's that guy though? Puella.
Puella, yeah.
Yeah, Puella's his guy. Like, Devlin's into that kind of. So being around him, you know, obviously I wanted to be able to impart knowledge on that kind of music. So I started listening to that and actually felt it as well. Like some of the, because it's the same as us, isn't it? It's all like soul music.
It is still.
Yeah.
Very so much inspired by it.
Definitely. So when I've heard this group, I'm like, whoa. So I've Shazammed them. And I'm like, what? And then I've gone on Shazam chart and it's number 52.
Mm.
Which at that time, that was the barometer with what's hot. And I'm thinking, who's this group? And I'm thinking in my head, they must be signed. They have to be signed. So then I went on blogs and I saw them in the Billboard. I saw them like millions of views on SoundCloud because they were putting out a song a month on SoundCloud for 12 months because they set themselves a songwriting challenge to say, I'm going to put out a song a month for SoundCloud. But they was like, they was on their fourth song and they had like 3 million SoundCloud plays. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, this act is, they're reacting. So I emailed them 8 times a day for like 12 days. I just kept emailing them 8 times a day. And then one day they just responded and said to me, wow, like, because even now when I speak to them now, they're like, oh, we remember sitting there in the studio and all we could see this one email coming up all the time. And it was like every day nonstop. So they were like, this guy's not playing about.
Mm-hmm.
So they made me, they emailed me, they put an email to me and their manager. And their manager was like, yeah, we'll link up. But I know the manager was thinking, he's this guy, man. Like, So the manager, like I never had his number. So I rang the receptionist at his office and said, oh, I'm outside, which I was lying because I was in Walthamstow in my office. But I said, I'm outside in the rain and I've lost my phone. I'm on a call phone. Can you send me his number? Because I had to meet him for lunch. The woman fell for it and sent me his number. So I rang him and said to him, look, just come meet me in Darkus tomorrow, please. That's all I'm begging you. So he was like, yeah, cool. So I went into Ireland and I said, Darkus, look, I found this music, this act, and it's just gonna go. And I need this. So I played it to him. Darkus was like, what the hell do you know about this kind of music? And I was like, it's soul music, man. It's all love, it's all the same thing. And then I'm Auntie Annie, who's A&R at Ireland. She said the Americans had hit her up about them. And said, yo, someone is to sign a wonder now.
Mm.
And Darkus was like, whoa, Colin just brought this in. So then like the management came in and then they just wanted to sign to us. And the next day there was like 20 offers on the table for them, but they said they want to come to me in Ireland. And then when I met the group was just so in shock that I like their music.
Oh, okay.
They were like, what? When they saw me, they were thinking, what, are you sure you like it? I was like, yeah, man. Like, and I was seeing their words, some of their lyrics. And I just like them as songwriters and as people. But I also wanted to prove 2 points. I wanted to prove that, and not to sound all racial and all political, but I wanted to prove that we can sign something that's not in urban.
Mm.
Like, Ben will tell you, a lot of the A&Rs stay in your lane. But then they come in our lane. But then when we go in their lane, they're like, no, what do you know about this type of music? So I wanted to make a statement to say, I'm from the hood, but I can sign a wonder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was a big statement for me because it did turn the industry upside down. A lot of people were ringing me like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So.
That's great, man. That's amazing that you've been able to do that.
Huge success.
Thank you.
Yeah, massive.
Thank
and you. I've like, I've success. Seen look gone on their Insta and that, and I've seen like they when they do their Big tour dates, yeah. they're really doing their thing.
What venues are they playing?
I'm in America, they sold out Terminal 5.
Yeah.
I'm in LA, they sold out I'm the Wilson Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
They've done Roundhouse over here. We're about to do Brixton, 2 Brixtons.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
They've done 120,000 tickets worldwide.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Do you know what I would...
It's proper numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. I would personally, like, I want to lastly just get your perspective on something, yeah? Right. So I know that, so you've stepped outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've signed something that is, you know, different to what you have been doing in your career.
Yeah.
And you also did that with, you could say with KSI,
yes.
KSI as well, who is a YouTuber, yeah?
Yes.
So the question I want to ask you is not aimed at KSI, but it's just a general conversation that I've always wanted to have anyway. Now, you see, like with somebody like yourself who signs an act, who isn't, they're not known for being an artist. They're not an artist, really. That's not their first thing. They're probably, you know, famous for doing something else, whether it be presenting, whether it be in a cartoon character, because these things have been going on for years.
Of course.
Right? Is it harmful to the music industry when you have, like, a person who or an act who has a fan base for something else, but then trying to change it, those numbers, into sales?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can that be harmful to the music business or not really?
I think in this current world, it's music is just part of a bigger part of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, like you have sport entertainment, you have YouTubers. And I feel like if you're running around saying this is the best artist in the country, then yeah, of course. But if you're just trying to add something more to the culture and maybe bring people that can look on other people and try and expand it, I think it's a good thing.
Mm.
And it's growth. This is a guy that is like the most powerful YouTuber in the country.
Yeah.
And he's a black kid.
Yeah.
And his hobby is music. But we didn't just sign him to be an artist.
Mm.
We signed him to be like an entrepreneur and a business. So I think it was a modern day deal, which it wasn't just about the music. It was about the stuff he could add value to the culture and to the industry, because maybe you're bringing in kids that don't listen to music as much as, and now they're going to be more into it because they're like they're from like the gaming world or from another world, so I think if you're going around saying this is the best artist and he should win all the awards and win a Mercury and that, then you are being a bit harmful to the credible artist. But if you're trying to add growth to our business and change people's lives and add and make it into more of like an entrepreneurial business and add more listeners and more people to our culture, I think that's only a good thing, personally.
Yeah, bro.
Someone wants to follow your footsteps, Cole. They wanna rise through the ranks. They wanna manage. They wanna A&R. They wanna be Colin. What do you say to them?
Sacrifice. The greatest lesson in success is failure. You have to have like the tunnel vision, and you have to not chase money, more like purpose. Mm-hmm. Chase purpose, chase what you want to be. Like me, like I love the game so much. I love when people get label deals and people sign acts. You know that I'm always telling you, I'm always like, I'm like the gossip king, and then I'm like the commentator.
He is the gossip king.
Yeah, I'm the commentator. Like I always know the
He's
shit
the
first.
Gossip.
Is it?
But king. Just like I think like progression. I just feel you have to love it and focus. Like one of my biggest things I've done this year was giving Lady Nye like a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in England we don't do that.
No.
And just to have someone of her experience and the legend, she's to have a part of my management team.
Mm.
I think that's invaluable experience. So that's one of my highlights of this year. And I'm not just saying that because she's in the room, but that's a big thing for EGA. Like we've had a part of the team now. And she's already, the way she's talking to some of the artists are like, whoa.
Yeah,
like, thank God she's here. So I think for me, it's just like follow your dream until it's a reality, but it's tunnel vision, because the only guarantee in life is death.
Mm.
No doubt.
So why not try and live your dream? Doesn't make sense to me. So that would be my answer, really.
Yeah, man. No. Good advice, man. Good advice. The only other thing to add to that is, don't support Liverpool if you live in Tottenham. It makes no sense.
Ben owes me some money.
I owe him some money.
My money, must pay me now.
I lost the bet.
But I'd like to give it to my little niece. That's all right, Uncle Ben. I'm saying
don't
it on
worry,
air.
I'll pay you last day of the
no,
season,
no,
Cole.
You give to the little one for me.
Installments, mate.
But and I support Liverpool because John Barnes got me to football.
I respect
okay,
that.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
I
respect that. Then Ian Wright came through and you should have done the right thing.
No, I should have gone to... I'll never go to Arsenal scum.
Cole.
Thank you so much for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for coming through. Appreciate it. It's been
thank
a good chat as always.
Man. This is my favourite show and I feel privileged. Thank you so much.
Enough love, man. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, man. Make some noise for Cole.
Yes, my guy. My guy. Really good conversation. Benny, you sign this one out today because I always sign them out. You sign it out, man.
If you want to check us out on the socials,
yes.
Chucky Online.
Yes.
Benny Scars, Neighborhood World.
That's the one.
There you go. RadarRadio.com.
Yeah, or just everything, innit?
Like, and like, if you're listening to this on the podcast, now we're filming these, so jump on the YouTube, watch the film version.
What's the channel? It's Radar Radio on YouTube, right? LDN. Radar Radio LDN on YouTube, yeah? So subscribe as well.
Yeah, man. Subscribe and, yeah, just give us feedback as well. And it'll be good to know who else you would like to hear on the show. Send your suggestions, not on a postcard. Right. 2 weeks' time, we'll be back.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Trust me, dog. Again. Them can't walk the water like me. Them can't talk the like